Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Your Bibles at Exodus in chapter 20. I'll get all mic'd up here and get ready to go. Exodus in chapter 20. I can't believe Snowbird's pulling out on us already. That's hard to believe. Their timing was actually pretty good, wasn't it? Exodus chapter 20. Some of you heard the story about the barbecue that we purchased on clearance, and I refused to put together, and I figured if I used that as an illustration, as a story. Remember, I got the barbecue from Walmart, less than half price, heavy duty, charcoal, exactly what I wanted. Box was tore up just a little bit. Took it home, opened it up in the garage, 100 pieces, maybe 1,000 pieces. Just hit me kind of wrong. I said, man, no way, I am not going to take this on right now. I'm just not going to do it. And I shared that with you, hoping that someone would volunteer, some loving member of Fundamental Baptist Church on Pastor Appreciation Month. Somebody would volunteer, and nobody did. Week went by. I did this. This is Tim Rader, right? I come home at the end of the day, walk in the foyer, go over to the garage door, open it up. It's still not together. I just was sure somebody was going to do it. Well, lo and behold, my wife did me wrong. While I was gone one day, she put it together. I said, Deb, man, you're just making me look bad in front of the whole church when you do that. She put it together. Now, I'm thinking, how is it possible? I mean, there were 10,000 pieces. How is it possible that she put it together? You know what she did? She read the book. She read the instructions. She actually took it out, laid it out on a table in the garage, opened it up, and went letter by letter, line upon line, and precept upon precept. And she was able to put the barbecue together. You know, a lot of our lives, and you know, but I had to tighten all the bolts up. You can't really leave that to a woman, can you? You know, so I tightened everything up so I could say that, at least in my mind, when someone asks, I say, yeah, I put that together myself. Here's the point. She read the book. There's so many lives together that are just a hot mess because they never take the time to read the book themselves, line upon line and precept upon precept. Everything they get from Bible is just secondhand and third hand. And unfortunately, it's diluted along the way. And now what this is a series on the Decalogue, on the Ten Commandments. And I want to preach this morning, go to Exodus and chapter 20. In fact, stand, let me read a few verses. I'm going to pray, and we'll get right into it this morning. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Praise God for salvation. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's a pretty simplistic and straightforward command. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a zealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and that keep my commandments. That's commandment number two. That's pretty straightforward as well. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. That's the third commandment. The third commandment of the Decalogue. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we pray your blessing upon the word of God. Help me to preach with your enabling this morning. God, there's a lot of problems in America. And our foundation is a Judeo-Christian ethic and value. And God, we've drifted so far from the book. Lord Jesus, would you help us to understand it's not pluralism. There's one God, one. And we're not to have any graven images, any idols in our lives, whether they're physical or philosophical, theological, no idols. Because we understand you're a zealous God and you punish sin. And yet you're merciful to those that call upon you. And God, this third commandment, help me to preach it today in a way that hits the heart. I pray, God, that you would help those that are in our number that struggle with this sin. God, we're grateful that you're the good God of heaven. And Lord, would you help us to grow in grace? For some of us, our vocabulary's got to change. Before that can change, our heart has got to change. We pray, Jesus, that you do surgery, spiritually speaking, in our midst this morning. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Got saved and finally was invited after we got involved in a good church, a Bible preaching, Bible practicing church. I was invited to Bible camp. It was 1970. I was excited. I'd never been to anything and I loved it. Never been involved in anything like that in my whole life. It was like a little slice of heaven. You know, and it wasn't that our home was very bad. I'm not saying that. And mom and dad were growing in grace and things were changing and changing dramatically and changing quickly. But when I got to Bible camp, man, it was just like a little bit of heaven on earth. And man, what a time it was. But I was afraid to go. As an eighth grader, I was afraid to go to Bible camp. And the reason I was afraid to go to Bible camp is because, man, I cussed a little bit. And I knew that there was no way I could go 6 days without swearing and embarrassing myself in front of other Christians. I knew it was wrong. Man, I was convicted about it. But man, you know, the devil had already given me a vocabulary at that time. You know, we had just gotten going in church and I was growing in grace just like mom and dad was. And even Bud grew a little bit at that point as well. But I was growing in grace but I was hanging on to this. And this morning I want to preach on the cussing Christian. And there are many people in the family of God that use God's name in vain. There are many people in the family of God. And I'm not just talking about asking God to damn something. You verbalize things and words that should never once be spoken by a Christian. And isn't it interesting that the third commandment of the Decalogue, the third commandment of the Ten Commandments, is dealing with man and his heart and verbalizing and using God wrongly, taking oaths wrongly, asking God to do things wrongly, asking God to damn this and to damn that, and asking God, you know, using the name Jesus in a way other than prayer or testimony. Use it as an emphasis because we have a poor vocabulary. And if you're here this morning and you're a cussing Christian, I pray you get convicted this morning. And maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling with that. There's help. I'm gonna give you help. That's why the Ten Commandments were given. It's our schoolmaster. It shows us God gives to us help. And it might be that you're here this morning, you pretty much got that verbalization conquered, but you still got it in your heart. It's like the story I was told of the preacher that went golfing, and one of the church members wanted to find out if their preacher cussed at all and said, hey, Caddy, come over here. Well, you're with the preacher today for 18 holes. He said, when he misses a shot or slices it or whatever the golf terminology is there, and things go bad, hits it in the rough, hits it in the water, do you ever hear him swear? He said, no, sir, I've never heard him swear, but where he spits, the grass is never going to grow there again. And here's the deal. It's a heart thing. Unless you're a sanctimonious, self-righteous Christian, you say, man, I don't swear. But in your heart, You don't verbalize it, but in your heart you swear. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew in chapter 5. Won't read the whole passage. Verse 17, Jesus said, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And Jesus did that. And by the way, the moral law is fulfilled in the person of Christ. The ceremonial law is fulfilled in the work of Christ. Jesus did not come to destroy the law. His own words, he came to fulfill the law, provide righteousness that you or I could not. "For verily I say unto you," verse 18, "for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot," that's the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, "or one tittle," and that's just a little dot, that's just a little line off of the smallest letter, "shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." By the way, I believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of God. He gave not one jot and what not one tittle is going to be destroyed from the law. Verse 19 says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach them so, he shall be so called, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Then he goes on and he says, "You've heard that the law said, thou shalt not kill. Well, if you've hated in your heart, you've murdered already." I think I emphasized this the first Sunday of this series. Let me say it again. It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. If you know, maybe you're not murdering anybody, but if you're wishing they were dead or you had animosity towards them, Jesus said it's a heart thing. You've broken the law. Goes on and says, if you've lusted after a woman, you looked at her and you lusted after, you've committed adultery already, Jesus said, in your heart. It's a heart thing. In Matthew in chapter 5, just turn the page. You might want to turn the page. Verse 33. "Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." He just very simply says, we're not to use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Our God's a holy God. Our God is a righteous God. For me to use his name lightly or flippantly, it is wrong. To use the word Jesus as a comma in our vocabulary, we are committing terrible sin concerning our holy God. As a Christian, man, don't use minced oaths. The word geez. What do you mean when you say geez? You don't mean Tom. You mean Jesus. Gall. What do you mean when you say the word gall? You mean God. And Jesus said, and God says, it's a heart thing. It's of the heart. Let's go back again to Exodus in chapter 20. Exodus in chapter 20, verse 7. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," lightly, use it wrongly. "For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." The audacity of using God's name as a commandment, a human commandment, as asking God to damn something. That's just not understanding. I think of Isaiah in chapter 6, where the prophet saw the throne of God. He says, "Woe is me. I'm an unclean man. Unclean lips. Woe is me." The God that we worship, please understand, he's a holy God. And to be audacious enough to think that I can use God's name and use it wrong and be flippant about it. Man, I've got a list of verses here, and I see the clock, and I know I'm not going to be able to look at them all, but as far as cussing, go to James chapter 3. James in chapter 3. Verses 8, 9, and 10. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Lord, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. If you would just keep that in your mind, turn to Philippians in chapter 2. There's several passages I want to read. Philippians in chapter 2, and I'll try to read them without much comment. Chapter 2 and verse 12. Matthew 12, 34, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, man speaketh. Proverbs 23, 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you're someone that uses God's name in vain, you're someone that cusses, you're someone that when you skin your knuckle with the wrench, it comes out of you. You need to understand that that's the real you. And you got to change that. And you can't change it, but God will if you'll surrender it to him. He'll forgive you, he'll clean you up, and he'll give you a new vocabulary. He'll make you a new heart. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. You say, well, almost everything has passed away. It says old things are passed away, and all things become new. If you'll surrender your tongue, you'll surrender your anger. If you'll surrender your heart to God, then he'll make it new. He'll give you that new vocabulary. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. He says, you're born again? It's God that's inside you? Then you bring it to the surface. And it's God that worketh in you both to do his will and his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We are to live in such a way that the world cannot use my evil lifestyle as fodder against the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone hears me say something I ought not to say, that unsaved person, right now, they've got bullets, they've got ammunition to say that they're all a bunch of hypocrites. And they don't understand that, man, we're earthen vessels carrying around heavenly treasure. They don't understand that we're not yet perfect. They don't understand that we're saved by grace, and they're just looking for an excuse. So it is so important that we grow in grace as children of God. None of us have an excuse to sin. If we do so, we may end up damning someone else's soul to hell, even though we're saved by grace. How we talk is very important. So he says, don't use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. God will help you. Go to Titus in chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8. Titus in chapter 2. I thought of all kinds of verses this week that I never really thought of before in relation to the tongue. And God just kind of bringing more and more verses to my mind. Titus in chapter 2 and verse 6 says, Young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Man, I often think about that in relation to gossip. I often think about that in relation to being a loose cannon. But here's something else. What about using the name of the Lord thy God in vain? Well, they say they're Christians over there, but they're no different than I am. I heard what that guy said over there. You know what? Our words are very important. Words mean something. Words matter. I came across this some time ago. Like the word complete and finished. They're kind of the same, but they're not. If a man finds the right girl and marries the right girl, he's complete. If he marries the wrong girl, he's finished. They can mean something absolutely different, right? It's a fact. Words that I use in my everyday life, the whole world is listening. How do I react to different situations? What am I really all about? And Jesus said, as a man speaketh, that's what he's really like in his heart. That's the real guy. You say, man, pastor, I struggle with my vocabulary. I know I'm born again. Man, I've got all that settled. But that old man is still within me. He's within me too. And I'm going to help you here in a moment. You need to understand, you can overcome that. God will give you a new tongue. God will give you that new heart, which will affect that new tongue, and you'll be able to, man, you'll be able to start putting things together. Understand that this sin is an exceeding sinful act. But God is bigger than my mouth. And God is bigger than my heart. God is bigger than my sin, my habitual sin. God is bigger with whatever it is that I'm struggling with. Turn to Leviticus in chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 19, and look at verse 12. It's an exceeding sinful act. Man, I've read some great things over the years concerning vocabulary. One man said, it's a small mind that resorts to vulgarity. It's a small mind just trying to express himself because he doesn't have any words. He just pulls God down and throws God in the ditch. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 12 says, and ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. He's our King. He's our God. He's the holy God of heaven. There's no room for cursing. Go to Romans in chapter 12. Romans in chapter 12. Some of you people, men and women, you work in a atmosphere that is just charged with vulgarity. And I know it's tough. And it's hard to not have that rub off on you, especially if that used to be the way you talk. But I want you to know there's victory in Christ. And you can get on top of that. And you don't have to sink to that kind of low. Don't do that. Romans in chapter 12 and verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 20. The words of a wise man are gracious. The lips of a fool will swallow him up. Matthew chapter 5 and verses 33 through 37, we already read it. It's the words of Jesus. We're not to swear by God. No way. Unless we're praying or praising, then Jesus should not be part of our vocabulary. Man, praying or praising, and we read this morning and heard this morning in Sunday school, we're to be praying without ceasing. You know, and we're to be praising without ceasing. You should have been in Sunday school because a lot of people, they only talk to God, they say amen, and then they leave God behind them. And that's not how we're supposed to live, not as New Testament Christians. Man, we're supposed to be all day long. That's another message. I can't go in that direction right now. But don't use God's name in vain. Don't play God. Don't ask God to damn anything. God doesn't damn man to hell. Man damns himself. God is not willing that any should perish. That's what the scripture says. So don't say God damn and put somebody's name at the end of that. That's profane. That's an abomination. Don't say God damn this, whatever it is, this wrench, whatever it is. That's profane. He's not going to do that. What are you, God, all of a sudden? Are you deity? Will you just give marching orders to God? You understand how wrong that is from every angle. That's why he says, don't use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. He's my Savior. Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's the one that was nailed to the cross for me. Because of him, I'm going to heaven. And you don't use his name in vain. Ken Orr, when he lived out there on, what's the name of that highway? Ken, where's Ken at this morning? Okay. But out on the highway, he had that big billboard he put out there. What's that highway that goes to Detroit? 48. God's last name is not damn. Is that what it said? Yeah. Man, you know what? You got to spread the word a little bit and clean up your own heart as well. See, I don't swear, preacher. Remember Fred Flintstone in the old cartoons? He wasn't the only cartoon character that did this. All right, they didn't swear, you know, I'm talking like he's a real guy, right? They didn't swear on TV, but what did they do all the time? Yeah, what's going on in that guy's heart right now? Man, I find myself doing that. That's murmuring. That's complaining. You wouldn't verbalize anything terrible. You wouldn't dare to speak God's name verbally out loud. But man, it's all over in your heart. I'm saying we got to grow in grace. That's what he says here. Don't use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Don't propagate the myth that God damns anybody to hell. He doesn't. Here's how to stop cussing if you're a cussing Christian. Number one, admit you got a problem. That means be convicted and confess to God your sin. Replace the evil words with good words. Something that's right and proper and not slanted and not off color and not a minced oath. Fill your heart with the Bible. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Really simple. Talk about Jesus. Get used to talking about Christ. Get used to using Bible words. That's all you got to do is confess, repent, and replace the old with the new. Saturate your life with the Word of God. I know a lot of men and women used to cuss like a sailor, and they got saved. And it wasn't like they never slipped along the way, but they grew in grace. And it's no longer part of their language. No longer part of their heart. That's what you want to get to. My grandma Metcalf, she, God bless her, little old Norwegian lady, got saved late in life, used to smoke, chain smoker, cuss. Like, man, I heard every swear word growing up from all of my relatives, everybody. We were all unsaved people, none of us born again. Then the gospel penetrated that household. And man, one by one, lives began to change. And it wasn't long, the people weren't cussing anymore. Man, it was an amazing thing. I was right in the middle eye of the storm, and I witnessed that whole thing. And I'd already taken a couple of wrong steps in the wrong direction, and Dad gets saved, and Mom gets saved. And grandma gets saved. And my other grandma. And my grandpa gets saved. My other grandpa gets saved. And pretty soon, Bud gets saved. And even Christy got saved somewhere along the line. You know, and people are growing in grace. And man, it's an amazing thing. And I saw a family going completely in the wrong direction. Do a 180-degree turn. And oh, the grace of God. We're not to name and use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. In closing, go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians in chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. The cussing Christian creates a barrier between himself and God. He steals the fellowship that God wants. The cussing Christian weakens the faith of others. And the cussing Christian sends souls to hell. Verse 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, gracious, seasoned with salt. Make it appetizing. Brings out flavors. That ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Appropriate words. Thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.